Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Saturday, and welcome in to Sports Saturday right here on Sports Radio 810. We've got your sports. We've got your Saturday. I'm Joshua Briscoe. All the parts in the liner are already true. We're with you here till 6 o'clock. Sorry, I've been drinking all morning. I haven't, but you wouldn't know by my ability to say words in a timely manner and correct order. But we're with you here until 6 o'clock tonight when we hand it over to Florida versus LSU. Again, I'm Josh Briscoe. Mike DiMaggio's hitting all the buttons, DJing during the bumps, and generally making sure we're actually on the radio. Every button good so far? It seems like all the buttons have been pushed.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay, well,
if anything
changes, if any smoke comes out of the board, don't let me know. Don't even let me see it. Just tell me that everything is fine, and I'm going to keep talking into this microphone. Probably about the Kansas City Chiefs for a big chunk of the day. Listen, I know there have been some wild things that have already happened in college football today. You just heard OU in Texas here on Sports Radio 810. I know that Georgia just had the most college kickers game of the week, losing at home. I know that there's all of that. I know now Missouri has a chance to insert itself right back into the top of their side of the SEC if they are able to win tonight in a game they should win tonight. Although not like a, you know, not a shoe-in. I mean, Georgia reminded you there are very few shoe-ins in college football. But no KU, no K-State today. That's all right. We will talk about a few KU things later on in today's show. At 5 o'clock, Scott Chasen of Fog.net, which is the KU branch of 247sports.com. He'll join us. I haven't even gotten the chance to talk about late night from last week, where I sat there and watched Snoop Dogg bring out pole dancers. So is the most accurate way of referring to them.
Acrobatic dancers.
Acrobatic dancers. I haven't even gotten to talk about that yet. We might get to there one way or another with Scott. But also, KU made a move to elevate a guy on their staff already as their new offensive coordinator and let go the first man up. And so we'll talk to Scott about trying to understand all of that, because I think that it's one of the more interesting things that KU could have done at this point in the season, even as it also was a bit expensive. So I think there's some interesting stuff in there. And again, throughout the rest of the world of college football, we'll give you some updates throughout the day. Plus, when needed, we won't start it right now, because you can listen to it over on ESPN Kansas City if you feel so inclined. But Nationals at Cardinals, game two of the NLCS just began. The first pitch was just a few minutes ago. Got over on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. You can listen to the baseball game, or we'll bring you some updates leading up to the Florida-LSU game here a little later on in the show, if anything there gets super, super interesting. But right now, 0-0. We'll update you on that. We'll update you on the college games. We'll keep you abreast of everything going on in the sports world today, just like Snoop Dogg did. That was not supposed to be a pun, but it ended up being one, and now we're here. But the real thing that I feel compelled to talk about with you here today is Chiefs stuff, because it's October in Kansas City. The Chiefs are one of the two favorites in the AFC. The Patriots will be hovering over us for the rest of our natural lives. Although if they stop doing that at any point, it will be because of what Patrick Mahomes is able to do. Feels like that might not be all that far out in the future. And the game coming up tomorrow is going to be absolutely fascinating. I know that, listen, I may have a low bar of what it takes to be really intrigued by a football game. Like, listen, if Patrick Mahomes is playing in a football game, I want to watch it, even if it's Patrick Mahomes on one good ankle. But this game tomorrow, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, the Chiefs offense that has actually had a little bit of trouble these last 2 weeks, and with the same apparent causes both of these last 2 weeks, It's all fascinating to me, because we are getting a little bit of a clearer view of what it is that's all come together. I don't know if I mentioned this or not yet. We'll talk to Ryan Scott Hall of the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast here at 4. So about 40 minutes from now, we'll talk to him. There are a few common threads from these last two games. One is that Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked completely right. And if Patrick Mahomes isn't completely right, the variance you can have as far as number of factors that can throw off the offense, it obviously that shoots through the roof, right? You can't be as confident that the offense is going to overcome all other things, all other hurdles, if Mahomes isn't quite right. And so that probably has to lead the conversations. Although I'm a little bit, might have been a little bit open by an article that Seth Kizer, who's been on, you know, every show on 810 over the last couple of weeks, he's on with us every Tuesday night here on 810 on Almost Entirely Sports or whatever Chiefs show we're doing that night. But I was a little surprised as he charted Mahomes' numbers that he found a clear discrepancy in how much more inaccurate Mahomes became after he was able to rely on that left ankle a little bit less. And so noting that from Seth, the thing that I personally found the most interesting over these last couple of weeks was what the Colts did in terms of man coverage. Now, depending on who you've listened to through this last week or so, you may have you may have felt like you've gotten your fill on this already. But there are a couple of things that I think will be new to you in all likelihood in this sort of man coverage conversation. The first thing is, in case you don't know, the Patriots in the AFC Championship game ran a lot of man coverage against the Chiefs. Just saying, hey, this guy versus this guy, we'll have some help in a couple of places, but really this is about guy one on the defense versus guy one on the offense and guy two versus guy two. Just man coverage lining up like you would playing in your backyard, unless you had a, you know, very detailed coverage scheme for the kids in your neighborhood, which, as I've mentioned before, I think on this show, I did. But in most cases, you're probably, hey, you've got Billy, I've got Jimmy, every kid in this neighborhood's name ends with a Y, let's go. And so that was the thing that worked the best against the Chiefs offense in the AFC Championship game, and then the Lions did a lot of that 2 weeks ago. With some measure of success. Like, the passing game wasn't excellent there. It was good enough. They had the drive at the end that felt different for I imagine, most Chiefs fans. And what the Colts did was what made it go from almost like an optional strategy to what feels like it has to evolve into a nearly mandatory strategy for teams in the future. I also have the counterpoint coming to this, so hold. I would say hold your breath, but you're probably driving or whatever. And if you pass out while driving, I don't want that on my hands. Stay prepared, is what I will say. Keep your ears open. But the first direction of this is the Colts come into that game where under DC Matt Eberflus, they had not run more than about 25 to 26% man coverages at any point in the 20-ish games that Eberflus had been their defensive coordinator. The most they had run was against the Chargers. It was about 26%. There were some 5% and some 10% and some 15% in there. Never more, though, than that 25, 26% number they played against the Chargers. Again, that's the percentage of time that they played man-to-man coverage in a game under Eberflus in the last 20 games or so. His entire time with the Colts. Against the Chiefs, they ran about 75% man coverage. That's the kind of trend breaking that you don't see very often from, I mean, even in the NFL, even whenever you feel like you have the best innovators and the best in the world at these chess matches, which is something that I still feel like I'm striving to understand better in the sport of football, how much move, counter move, counter move, counter move. What's your counter move going to be? I'm going to counter that before you even make it. Oh, wait, hold on. But what if you don't make that move? What do I do? That kind of 3D chess is always happening in this sport. I think sometimes we just see, hut, ball, incomplete. Ah, defense won that snap. When the amount of stuff that happens in there can legitimately like blow your mind if you even just begin to understand it, which is where I feel like I'm at right now. I feel like I'm beginning to understand how all of this works together. But the Colts completely flipping their defense on its head in terms of zone versus man coverage, and then the success that they had with it, like, fascinates me. And every team in the league is now aware of it, and I know that because I'm aware of it, and you're aware of it, and the graph on Twitter got shared, so I know that Romeo Crennel is aware of it. The Chiefs talked about it. I'm sure that there are people in the Texans organization who listen to every single second of every Chiefs press conference this week. We'll play you some of it here in a little bit. But the Chiefs, I don't think they've shown like a blueprint to beating them, right? I think that is an exaggeration. However, defenses did just about enough against the Lions, and certainly did more than enough against the Colts. That Colts defense was excellent in this game, in this matchup, all things considered, on a, you know, Chiefs sliding scale. It was the worst game they had had offensively under Patrick Mahomes by a factor of two. Like, it was 50% of their previous worst offensive output. Every team in the league is aware of this. Every team in the league, I imagine, is going to plan on trying this against the Chiefs until they beat it a bunch of times in a row. Now, where this gets, like, that's sort of starting point one. In fact, DiMaggio, let's play this Andy Reid clip here first, because this has been fascinating me all week, and you may have heard one of these clips over the course of the shows this week, because this is back on Wednesday, but I asked Andy Reid about the amount of man coverage the Chiefs have gotten over these last 2 weeks, which Mahomes referred to after the game on Sunday night, and about what changes for the Chiefs as an offense when they do see that much man coverage, especially when they're doing it without Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, so we have the guys that can do it. I've got to make sure I get them in the right position call-wise, and then you got to defeat it. So it's truly man on man, and you're not working in space. You're trying to defeat the guy over you, and there are certain ways you do that. And so collectively, we've all got to get better at that.
Andy, how much of the equation within that, to kind of back up on Josh's question, is the physical nature of the opponent, particularly in that sort of 5-yard area? And how much of that is a concern that you're trying to tell the officials during the game, where it feels like, you know, both the Lions, based on watching film, both the Lions and the Colts are trying to hold on the guys as maybe even longer than they're necessarily allowed in the round?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to change that. Early in the season, they were calling it real close, and then there were too many, so they've kind of let the guys get in and play and work. So you've got to go in, and from an offensive standpoint, you got to be physical and challenge, and then it's important that there's a balance there. Like Kelsey's last week, they were getting it in, and he got called for a play. Well, that's a subjective decision. It might be different than the way I see it as the way they see it. So, but they'll get a balance on that, and, you got to get both sides. If one side's going to grab, the other side's got to be able to kind of play physical too. So,
I think that's pretty interesting from Andy Reid. Now, listen, some of it, like, he's excellent at coach speak and at answering your question without actually giving you anything. Like, in response to my question, he mentioned, you know, there are things you can do to beat man coverage. Okay, coach. Yeah, there are things. I would have loved to be like, okay, but like what kind of things? And I think he would have just looked me in the eyes and would have told me to bleep off and then would have gone on to the next question. He wouldn't have, because he's even too good at telling you to bleep off. You don't even notice that he's told you to bleep off. It's great. But he gives you a little bit there, and then Nate Taylor from The Athletic had the next question about the physicality and how you wrestle with all of that, maybe literally with how the refs are running those, or basically how they're deciding to call physicality in those man-to-man matchups. And again, like, is there a gem in the sentence, you've got to defeat it, it's truly man on man? No, probably not. But I do think it sort of leads to, it leads me to believe a few things. One is that this week for the Chiefs offensively, I think, has been about beating man coverage without Hill and Watkins. You know, because Reed says, oh, we have the guys to do it. I mean, they do, but nothing will help you beat man coverage like having Tyreek Hill on your team. Like, that's impossible to stop. Having Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on the field at the same time, Sammy Watkins sure helps. You, whatever it is, man on man, no defensive back in the league can hang with Tyreek Hill for very long, which also, by the way, very long can take you to the offensive line. It's really hard to win in man coverage whenever your pressure is not getting home. But that wasn't a problem against the Colts because the Colts were getting there all the time, and they're getting their rushing four. Like, the Lions got their rushing four a lot. A couple times they got their rushing three. And so those are the two factors that really play together there in my mind. But there was a tweet that I saw or was tagged in yesterday from Ben Baldwin on Twitter, at Ben B. Baldwin. He does some great analytics stuff. And I love this kind of thing. But this actually was a tweet from another Pro Football Focus writer. And the quote tweet here from Baldwin is saying, outstanding work from at PFF underscore Moo, which is the other Pro Football Focus writer here, showing that relative performance against man or zone coverage is just noise. Now, what does that mean? There's a chart here that I can't read to you because it's a bunch of data points. But here's the paragraph from Pro Football Focus. What about the difference between performance against man and zone coverage? If a quarterback or team excels against man coverage but struggles against zone coverage or vice versa, should we expect this to continue? Given these results, a negative answer isn't surprising, and that's exactly what we found. There's basically zero correlation between the difference in one half of the season and the other half of the season. So again, now extrapolating all of that, now what does that mean? I'm here to translate. Teams, statistically speaking, don't really perform worse against a man or against a zone over the course of an entire season. What I'm trying to take from that, what I believe this is leading me personally to, is that the Chiefs are going to have a harder time beating man without man beating receivers like Hill and Watkins, whenever they could pay more attention to Travis Kelce in man coverage. And it's simply easier. If you believe in your cornerback talent at all, you can hang with Byron Pringle and maybe Mecole Hardman, who is still just isn't, and DeMarcus Robinson. Hardman just doesn't seem like he's on the same page with Mahomes yet. He's really young to be getting this big of a role in Andy Reid's offense as a rookie. That doesn't happen very often. And DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle are guys. That might be the end of the sentence. They're guys. I mean, they're guys in a really good situation that have made the most of their opportunities, but they're not going to, like, tilt the game in your favor. And so I don't expect the Chiefs to continue getting crushed by this for the next 10 weeks or whatever, but I'm certainly aware of it. And it was also, again, a consistent topic throughout the week out of Arrowhead. Let's take a break here. Whenever we come back, I want you to hear from Travis Kelce and from Patrick Mahomes how they talked about making these adjustments in game. I think there might actually be a decent argument that there's more to be concerned about in the conversation about adjusting to whatever the defense is bringing you instead of just looking at specifically what they're doing against man coverage. So I think that's pretty interesting. And we'll talk about a bunch of Chiefs stuff with Ryan Scott Hall at 4. We'll keep you updated on the NLCS game with the Nats and the Cardinals. We'll talk KU with Scott Chasen at 5 o'clock. I'm Josh Briscoe. We're doing all that and more here on Sports Saturday. I promised you a longer look into what's going on with the Chiefs offensively here and what that's going to all look like tomorrow when they take on the Texans. We'll do that here at Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810. Josh Briscoe, Mike DiMaggio hitting all the buttons, picking all the music. I haven't heard this song in a long time, so I was glad to hear it. Good job, Mike. Two gold stars in a row. Also, the Texas OU game was on Fox, and I haven't changed the channel yet, but now the Carbonaro effect is on. And I imagine that there must just be 3,000 episodes of this show because it seems like it's always on TV. And also, like, I mean, it's just like a really clever prank show. It's going to exist for the rest of time. He was squishing dogs. I mean, not really. Oh, I think not really. I don't know. Maybe he's a magician. He was like squishing dogs into little like discs and then unsquishing them. And it's a weird show, but it's always on. How many episodes? Carbon. How do you spell carbon? Okay. Carbonaro effect. IMDb. I feel like this and Practical Jokers are always on television somewhere because I'm seeing promos for one on TBS with the baseball game on right now, and then I'm literally watching the Carbonaro effect on Fox.
I feel like it's got to take them for, like, how do people not recognize those guys doing pranks on the street?
That's a good
question.
After
all these episodes.
I don't know. I mean, because I feel like the people they're pranking are probably also generally the audience of the people that would watch the show, it seems like. Like, hey, come on in here and let me show you this special dog-squishing device that I have. Can I just get a number of episodes, please? This has only been on for 4 seasons. That's not right. I can't possibly be right. How many episodes are there? I want to talk about man coverage. 90 episodes. There's no way there are only 90 episodes of the Carbonaro effect. I've seen 45 of them just on the TVs and here on weekends. And I've never seen a duplicate. Seems impossible to me. Anyway, I digress. I told you last segment and earlier this segment that I was going to give you kind of the other piece to the puzzle here on what we're looking for with the Chiefs offensively. I do think that Mahomes having the ankle issue and then especially against the Colts, please don't let me get this far into the conversation without pointing out the fact that, like, dude, this was really, really, really bad work from the offensive line. I mean, the man coverage becomes, like I said earlier, the man coverage becomes way easier to pull off whenever your 3 or 4 pass rushers are getting to the quarterback. Justin Houston was a problem, and Cam Irving was a problem. By the way, like, Cam Irving hadn't been a problem, really, until that Colts game, but then he was a loud problem. And so, trying to understand what happened in that game, I still think, a week later, I still feel like there are so many moving parts that we're not going to totally understand it until later this season, whenever we've seen, did the Chiefs solve the man coverage problem? And again, I feel like generally talking about being slowed down by man-to-man coverage and a 4-man pass rush isn't ideal. But frankly, like, I think you could argue that, you know, that got Tom Brady a few times, where if you get there with 4 and you can have good coverage, that's not being a defensive genius, that's just being the better football team in that moment. And that is also a bit confusing. I think some of the most interesting things going forward are how they adjust whenever they're not expecting what they're seeing. So there are 3 clips here, 2 from Travis Kelce, 1 from Patrick Mahomes, I want you to listen to. First, Kelce was asked about the attention that he felt like he was getting without Hill and Watkins out there against the Colts. By the way, I think his answer to that question, which you'll hear first here, is a little bit surprising. And you'll also hear some follow-ups in this clip that ask more specifically about that man coverage that's been so interesting and so effective against the Chiefs these last 2 weeks.
The last game, none really. I mean, they just played us in pure man coverage and said beat us, and then we didn't. And that goes on myself, goes on all the other route runners, and it goes on the front 5 to be able to stop whatever they're doing up front, so that we got enough time to open that up. So I mean, it was just overall, we just couldn't click last week. Shout out to their defense for being ready for that. I mean, it was a heck of a team win for Indiana. Indianapolis, and you know, this week we're attacking it with a whole different mentality.
How much of the one-on-one man-to-man coverage comes out to just physicality in some ways, where they obviously want to get you off a timing or a spot, and how have you tried to adjust to that when it seems like the officials can kind of make one side appear to be more physical than the other?
I think coaches hit it. Everybody views, you know, holding and man-to-man coverage a little bit different in terms of refs. And, you know, you got to just feel that out throughout a game, because you want to be physical at the point of attack, but you don't want to get to the point where you're I don't know, getting a flag thrown on you like I did in that game. So it's just trying to find that happy medium and still being aggressive and still running your route to win.
Trev, you mentioned a new mentality this week. What goes into, what are you guys thinking? What's a little bit different maybe than last week in preparation?
Just the aggression. I mean, we know what we're going to get. They slowed us down last week with man-to-man coverage, so we know we're going to get quite a bit of man this week, at least we would assume. So we just got to be ready for it.
A few interesting things in there from Kelsey. One is that he mentions the front five and says they got to give the offense time. That's true. Like, that all for a second, you might go, like, whoa, he said that to the media? Kelsey calls out the Chiefs offensive line. Nah, man, everybody knows. You know, I know, he knows, Mahomes knows, Reed knows, the O-line knows. Left side of the offensive line was bad on Sunday. Right side was fine. But you've got to be able to give the offense some time to win in those man matchups. Talking about the mentality changing and how that might, I mean, now that they're being more aggressive and all, I shrug at a little bit because I'm a little less worried about the mentality and a little more worried about what they're actually doing out there. Listen to this other clip, though, from Kelsey. This is a little bit later on. He was asked if he expected as much man coverage as the Colts were giving him, and then I asked a follow-up after that.
No, but about after the first quarter, we knew what we had in front of us, and we just got to attack. Got to be ready for it.
How does that change the strategy whenever you see, oh, they're playing more man than we expected to be, kind of playing on the zone? What changes for you guys in that moment?
I feel like the mentality has to change, and that might not have been what happened out on the field. Just the mentality of coming off the ball and attacking, putting them in a reactionary position, being the defense, instead of kind of letting them dictate what we're doing.
And so there's some specifics that I appreciate, right? Saying, well, if the mentality has been bad, what does that mean? And here you're saying that, you know, that means that they were letting the defense dictate what they were doing. I think that's worth something there. But saying they didn't expect it, and by the end of the first quarter, they knew what was happening. And then after that, they needed to adjust. The mentality has to change, he said, and that may not have been what happened out on the field. I want to know why, like, that third layer is true. If it's just a mentality thing, why didn't the mentality change? Is that a coaching thing? Is that a player thing? If it's not really about mentality and it's actually about, you know, the routes that you're running, why didn't those ever change? Again, it's really complicated, but I think it's worth trying to understand. The one other clip on that front is from Patrick Mahomes, who talked after Reed and Kelsey did, talking about the man coverage and the adjustments and everything that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. So he was asked to elaborate on some of the things that Kelsey talked about in the conversation about how defenses were attempting to stop the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have to be prepared as a team about teams coming up playing man and pressing it up and trying to be physical with you. So you got to have a counter to that. And, I mean, obviously, we're gonna prepare for that because of the last two teams that we've played. But we also have to prepare for the zone coverages and stuff like that. And so I think just having that mentality of knowing that you could get that physical type game and you have to find a way to get yourself open and be on time with the football is stuff that we're going to work on all week.
Travis said that you guys weren't maybe anticipating as much man as you got last week, and that the adjustment kind of had to happen in game. Is that
happen more often now than maybe it did before? People are trying different things that maybe you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, definitely people are trying different stuff than they have been all season long, as far as different zone coverages, different ways to play different coverages and stuff like that, and different disguises. But I think last game, I mean, with them playing as much man as they did, and then they hadn't really shown that, I mean, definitely was different. But you always have to be prepared. You always have to be prepared for that. And so we'll be prepared for everything that we can get, hopefully, this week.
When adjustments like that happens, it happened between drives? I mean, is that kind of like what you talk about on the sidelines? It's kind of hard to do it during the course of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happens on the sideline. I feel like you can make adjustments on the sideline. I mean, when you go to the sideline, you get to look on those tablets and see what they're doing. You can kind of explain to guys what you want, and you just have to find ways to make those adjustments, run the plays that you have, and have success with them.
And so all of that being said there by Patrick Mahomes, it seems like they didn't make those adjustments, and I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why that happens or where that goes. So the extended conversation out of that point, I think, has to be why. But if you can make those adjustments, you needed to make those adjustments, where did it not actually work out? Again, I don't expect that trend to really even continue through the game coming up tomorrow, which you'll hear the pregame show right here on 810, and then postgame is me and Brad Porter. I don't think that it's going to go that way again against the Texans, because if it does, that's a really poor reflection on Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, even Patrick Mahomes, and you know, Travis Kelce, and whoever is out there running routes for the Chiefs. And I've said a couple of times over the last couple of days that at this point, I really do think Tyreek Hill moves the needle like almost a full touchdown. If not a touchdown, let's make it 4 points for logic that I'll give you in a second. But I think that right now this feels like it's a field goal game. This feels like a 3-point difference. So if you told me right now that Kelce is going to play, if you told me right now that Hill is going to play, and he's going to get full usage, and he's going to look like Tyreek Hill, which I expect him to whenever he starts playing, honestly. The only concern right now is him taking hits, and maybe the Chiefs activate Tyreek Hill tomorrow, but don't give him anything over the middle. Everything's on the sidelines, and he is directly instructed to run out of bounds every time he catches the ball. Although the hit that actually messed up his shoulder, clavicle, sternoclavicular joint, and all of that was over on the sidelines. So there's no safe place to be on a football field. Like, cameraman get taken out. So you've got to feel good about where Tyreek Hill's at with his shoulder and clavicle and all of that before you put him back out there, which is the reason that I'm not even close to 100% convinced that he's going to play on Sunday, and that I am concerned if he does, about what that could mean for the next few weeks and the possibility of a re-injury and all of that. But with him out there, couldn't you see them, instead of them settling for a 35-yard field goal because they couldn't convert on 3rd and 8, and now it's 4th and 8, and they're going to just go ahead and take the points, that instead there's a route, and I would say ideally like maybe some sort of crosser route to Tyreek Hill where he beats the guy attempting to cover him in May, and they convert that 3rd and 8 and keep it moving and then go score a touchdown there? Couldn't you see that happening at least once in a game, that maybe Byron Pringle doesn't pull that off? I certainly can. And just to have a non-quarterback move the line that much, and I don't think this is, I'm not talking about literally moving the line, I'm doing it in, you know, in my head here, but for a non-quarterback to move a line that much is really rare. But I think it's really justified, because it's not even just what happens with Tyreek Hill out there or not, assuming that there's no Sammy Watkins. What that makes me wonder is what does happen for DeMarcus Robinson, what does happen for Byron Pringle, and what does happen for Mecole Hardman, and what happens for Travis Kelce whenever Tyreek Hill is actually on the field demanding all the attention, even if he's just out there to run 9 routes. If he's just out there to line up on the line of scrimmage, run in a straight line, and just blaze down the stripe there, is that not demanding enough attention from the Texans secondary to forget that DeMarcus Robinson is now in pure man coverage with hopefully, God willing, a little bit of time to beat his man. That feels really reasonable to me. That I think that's a fair way to let your expectations evolve with or without Tyreek Hill. And so for me, that is a huge part of this game on Sunday. And so, like, I'm thrilled to see that for the Mahomes Deshaun Watson battle. And sometimes those quarterback battles can be kind of overhyped because they're not actually playing each other. They're playing each team's defense. I get it. But those two dudes, at every point during the game, unless they're, except when there are kickers on the field, either Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson will be out there. And that's exciting. Like, that is a fun thing to be getting ready for. And even as I was loud wrong with this prediction last week, I don't see this game being low scoring or some defensive shootout or anything like that. I think that this game needs to be Mahomes, Watson, Mahomes, Watson, Mahomes, Watson. But you can't be going 3-7, 3-7, 3-7. And so maybe we get a riskier Andy Reid in this game. I don't know. Maybe we see a more clear usage of Blake Bell lining up next to Cam Irving, trying to help out there, or a little behind Cam Irving, or you get more running backs staying in to pass block, which sucks because that's one of the places that consistently this offense is winning matchups. Letting LeSean McCoy or Damian Williams or sometimes Anthony Sherman or Daryl Williams and sometimes Deion Yeldon and sometimes Blake Bell, letting those guys just sort of slide out of the backfield, or in the case of Bell or Yeldon, kind of out of that little wing-looking position, letting those guys, you know, put up a hand and then slip out into the flat is oftentimes some of the best matchups you're going to get with this offense. And to give that up, I'm sure Andy Reid is hesitant about. But Eric Fisher is not playing on Sunday. And Cam Irving is. And that happened last week. And you've got to give Mahomes time to give the receivers time, which is what Travis Kelce was getting at there. If you do that, then I think this offense is going to look a lot more familiar here. And we'll be recapping it right now. So I'll say in about 22 hours, 23 hours, I think we'll be saying a lot more positive things about this offense if the line gives everybody time. Part of that, by the way, is that the offensive line hasn't had to be a moat around Patrick Mahomes at any point in his career. Because if they just keep getting in the way of those pass rushers in the same direction, Mahomes can bail, Mahomes can scramble, and he is literally at least as good at that as anyone I've ever seen playing the sport of football. The only reason it's not straight up better is because Aaron Rodgers exists. And I'd probably take Mahomes. But that also changes, obviously, if he doesn't have all the faith in his legs that he usually does. If that ankle is limiting him on any level. If he has the concern, like there was the sack late in the game against the Colts where he got kind of just wrapped up around the ankles and just sort of fell over backwards. Down by the goal line. I think I've had it in the very last drive, actually. I don't know if that was him physically going this. I can't do my little spin around, bail left, start running around, and throw the ball to the right sideline like an absolute wizard. I don't know if that was one of those moments where he just went, my foot can't do this, or if there was a thought of like, I don't think that it's worth trying to yank my foot out of this dude's grasp because what if it gets worse? And I understand if that was a part of his thought process. I get it. You can't knock yourself out for the next 3 weeks for the sake of one more pass attempt. But I'm hoping, and I put out the video that plenty of people saw back on Wednesday, where Mahomes was testing his ankle a little bit in practice, and it didn't seem like he was holding back or anything, right? If he does have faith back in that ankle and can be mobile, maybe the Chiefs just have to give a little bit of help to Cam Irving and whoever plays at left guard this week, because we don't know as of right now. They just brought in Wisniewski. He could be starting tomorrow, for all I know. And right now, I don't know. But if Mahomes can be a little more mobile, this is where I'm gonna bring it all together. Here's the final chapter of this book that I've been writing for the last hour. If Mahomes can trust that ankle a little bit more, that the offensive line doesn't need to do quite as much to keep him free, but maybe they give a little extra help there, that it gives a little extra time for those pass catchers to beat this man coverage that's given them some trouble over these last 2 weeks, especially gave them trouble against the Colts. It all plays together, and it's all really complicated, and there are a lot of factors. But all of those things have to improve if the Chiefs aren't going to go to 4-2 here, which is absolutely on the table. So that's there's your simple 45-minute long explanation of what went wrong offensively against the Colts and what has to change to keep that from happening again against the Texans. Tyreek Hill would make it much easier, because where he comes into that equation is that he lowers the bar of what the offense needs to do in terms of protecting Mahomes and how long they have to do that for on a play-by-play basis. He makes it easier, but all that stuff I just laid out is what I believe firmly the Chiefs have to do to beat the Texans on Sunday. I haven't talked about anything on the defensive side, and that's fine. We'll do that eventually. In fact, we'll do a little bit of that with Ryan Scott Hall of the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810.